Just join me as we pray. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that you have given us here at Antioch, how you have blessed us with so many young families and young kids. And Lord, we pray that we would just steward that well as a church and as your people. Lord, thank you for April's work and efforts, and Emily Hansen, who's out of town today. We just thank you for them and the hard work that they've been doing, and others that are many, many others that have served in nursery, in kids' church, in family gatherings, drop-off times, whatever it might be. We have a lot of people involved, Lord, and we just pray that all of that work, that effort would go towards the next generation, just praising you, worshiping you, following you, Lord Jesus, in the hearts of these little ones. And Lord, we ask for even today in Kids Church that you would guide that time as they learn about you as well. Lord, as we open up your word too and talk about your heart, Jesus, for children and what it means to really be childlike, we ask for your wisdom as we look into your word, and just that you would apply it to our hearts and change us through it. So we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. So yes, we have a great opportunity here at Antioch with all of the children we have bursting at the seams. We happen to be in a passage in the Gospel of Luke that we're looking at today that deals exactly with, oh, we need to dismiss the kids before I get into things here. Dismiss any children that we have, 5 years through fifth grade. You can go towards the hallway, and Sarah Hunt will lead you back to the classroom. Sorry about that. So we are in the Gospel of Luke today. If you don't have a Bible, we have a stack of them in the back, and we're in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. And what's great about preaching through a book of the Bible, one of the things that I love, among many other things, is you don't get to choose the topics. You just preach the next passage that comes and take it as it comes and see what God is saying to us from his word. And today we happen to be looking at Jesus and children and what Jesus says about children and a childlike faith. What a great opportunity to focus on children's ministry and how relevant that is for us as a church right now with the young children that we have and the families that we have. And also, that it's not just for families and not just for children, but Jesus has something to say here in this passage for every disciple, for what it means to be a follower of him. So that's what we're talking about today. And you know, when we think about different ministries, or you could say programs in a church, there's many things that could influence how we go about doing those ministries, what those look like. There's many things that can influence, for instance, how we do children's ministry here at Antioch. And sometimes, honestly, it's easier just to be pragmatic, isn't it? It's easier to ask, well, what works? And if we find something that works, let's just stick with that. And because it works, that justifies the fact that it's right or that it's good. Now, while it is important at times to think about pragmatics, to think about what's practical and realistic, there's something that's even more important than that and that should be underneath, kind of undergirding that, and that is, what is biblically and theologically, what should drive this ministry? What should drive why we do what we do? Asking the why question. What does the Bible have to say about children and families? Or how do our core values here at Antioch, which really flow out of a lot of convictions from the scriptures, how do our core values influence how we minister to kids? How does children's ministry connect to the mission that Jesus has given us as his church to make disciples? Or our mission statement that we talk about here often at Antioch, which is igniting a movement of the gospel throughout the Twin Cities and beyond. That's what we want to do. Be one of the sparks of many here in the Twin Cities working to ignite this larger movement of the gospel going forward and people coming to know Jesus and being built up in him, churches being started, all of that. So the question today, focusing specifically on children's ministry and kids, is why is children's ministry, why is it a vital part of our mission here at Antioch Community Church? Why is children's ministry a vital part? Why is it important? So we're looking at Luke 18, 15 through 17. And in this passage in Luke 18, Jesus teaches on children and the kingdom of God. Let's look what he says. very short section, starting in verse 15 of Luke 18. It says, Now they were bringing even infants to him, meaning to Jesus, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Now, this passage is not about children's ministry, but there are some important truths that Jesus is teaching about children and about what it means to have a childlike faith that have a lot of implications for children's ministry by way of application, by way of asking, how should a passage like this inform the way that we do things here at Antioch? So we're going to kind of be bouncing between those two things. What is Jesus saying here? And then asking the question too, well, what is what he's saying, how does that affect how we do children's ministry here? And how that drives why we do what we do. So that's kind of where we're going today. There's a couple of reasons why children's ministry is vital to the mission that Jesus has given us here at Antioch. We're going to look at those. The first one is in verse 16. It's vital because Jesus is concerned about children coming to him. Jesus is concerned about children coming to him. Now, not in the sense of, if you look up the word concerned and, you know, a lot of synonyms of it and definition of it, it seems like one of the primary ways we use that word in the English language, at least, is worried, just kind of fretting, a concern about something. But what I mean is that Jesus is concerned in the sense that he's passionate about this. He's concerned in the sense that he is greatly interested in children coming to him. In other words, kids matter to Jesus. Kids matter to Jesus. Look at verse 15. Luke gives us some insight to the setting here that leads into Jesus' teaching. Verse 15, it's Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem. That's the point within Luke's gospel that we're at. And that's been happening all the way since chapter 9, verse 51, where it says, Jesus, having been doing ministry in the northern region of Israel, in the area of Galilee, it says he set his face towards Jerusalem, to go to Jerusalem. He looked at Jerusalem and kind of turned his focus with his eyes to the cross and begins to journey south to where he will be crucified, where he will rise from the dead, where he will ascend to be at the right hand of his Father. So it's building up to that kind of climactic point of Jesus' ministry, and we're in that travel narrative, that traveling journey to Jerusalem at this point, and kind of getting to the end of it here in chapter 18. Now, both or all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of the Gospels that are very similar to one another, John being the fourth Gospel, has some differences and some other insights and emphases, which is great. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all place this same account of Jesus welcoming children towards the end of that journey narrative, right before Jesus enters into Jerusalem, his triumphal entry on the back of a donkey. Now look at verse 15, the actions of the crowds here. In this journey to Jerusalem, there's many crowds following, disciples following him, others that were skeptical, even others that were hostile to Jesus, religious leaders that didn't like what he was doing and were plotting his death. But in this scene, this entourage that's kind of following after Jesus, people were bringing their kids to him. People were bringing their kids to Jesus. And Luke emphasizes that there were even infants, not only toddlers and young children, but even infants, Luke says, that people were bringing to Jesus. Maybe newborns, just a few months old, but bringing them to Jesus for the purpose, it says, that he might touch them. Now, surely they had seen all of the other people that Jesus has touched and impacted in his ministry, in this brief three-year ministry that he had had in the area, the region of Israel. He had healed all kinds of diseases. He had cast out demons. And one of the things that Jesus frequently did, and Matthew gives us even some more insight on this in chapter 19, Matthew 19, Jesus would lay his hands on children and bless them and pray for them. So there's all of these families, all these parents bringing kids to Jesus so that he could bless them, so he could pray for them, so he could touch them. People were thinking, if Jesus could touch my kid, how great that would be. What an impact that would have. We've seen what he has done. We've heard about him. We want our kid to have a piece of what Jesus has to offer, in other words. Now, in that scene with people bringing their kids, even infants, to Jesus, look at the response of the disciples here at the end of verse 15. They rebuke the crowds for what they were doing, and they even attempt to block off the kids from Jesus. They're like trying to keep these kids away, keep the infants away from Jesus. They think that he had other important things to do. Maybe they don't like the casual access that other people are getting to Jesus when he should kind of be left to them. But listen to what one writer says. Children, in this day and age, in the first century, children were people of no social status. That's important to remember. And the disciples would not want the important time of their teacher taken up with blessing these children. But Jesus says that the kingdom belongs to the nobodies, those who do not approach it on the merits of their own status. Think about this. Now, how many of you, with the fall, September here, and the fall in full swing, and back from vacation, and maybe school starting, do any of you feel like overwhelmed and busy? Anybody? Yeah, maybe you're a student, and you're in syllabus shock or whatever. But yeah, September is one of the busiest months here at Antioch, one of the busiest months probably for me personally, and it's overwhelming, the busyness. But I guarantee you something. Nobody in this room was as busy as Jesus, right? The demands upon his time, the crowds that would come to him. I mean, there were times, as we're told in the Gospels, that Jesus was up all night healing people, ministering to people, casting out demons, teaching. I mean, not sleepless nights. Sometimes he had to just get in the boat, go to the other side of the lake just to get away and get some rest and spend some time recuperating, praying to his Father. I guarantee Jesus was busier than any of us, but yet he still had time for the nobodies of his day. He still had time not only for the unclean, the people that were leprous, the people that were cast, the outcasts, the untouchables of his day, but he still had time even for children, even for kids. That's what I love about Jesus here. Another writer says, Jesus does not bar anyone from access to himself. Every person is significant in his eyes, even little children and infants. So you have the disciples here that are like, Jesus, this, you don't have a lot of time. You've said now several times that you're going to die in Jerusalem. You know, the hour is short, time is short. There are a lot of strategic things that you could be doing, right? As the Son of God, important things. Not with these infants and messing with praying for the kids and all that. Well, look at Jesus' response, verse 16, to his disciples. Jesus calls the disciples to him. So when it says in verse 16 there, Jesus called them to him, the them, that's the disciples. And he's going to rebuke them, correct their behavior and their perspective. So he calls the disciples to him, and he gives them, in verse 16, a command, a prohibition, which is basically the flip side of that command, just restated in a different way, and then a reason for that. Look what he says. The command, let the children come to me. That's what he's telling his disciples. Let them come to me. Don't try to block them off and set up a barricade from these parents or grandparents or whoever it was bringing the infants and the children to me. Let them come. And then the flip side of that, do not hinder them, the prohibition. Let them come. Don't hinder them. Don't put anything in the way between me and these kids. The reason then, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Now, we spent a lot of time in these last weeks looking at what Luke has to say about the kingdom of God. He talks about it often. And the reason is, Jesus talked about it often. It was one of his most frequent topics in his teaching and his preaching, his messages, the kingdom of God, meaning the rule of God, the reign of God, that has a couple dynamics to it. It's now, it's here, it's broken into the world with the coming of Jesus as the king of the kingdom, but yet there's an element where it's not completely here, where it's not yet fulfilled. It's not here in all of its glory, in all of its majesty, as it will one day. It's present, but it's not yet. And it's centered in the person of Jesus Christ. And you experience and enter into that kingdom by how you respond to Jesus. If you don't respond to Jesus, if you reject Jesus, you don't participate or enter into that kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. If you respond to Jesus in repentance and faith, turning from your sin, trusting in him, that's the entry point into the kingdom. He's the door, in other words. So Jesus says, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. So he's doing a couple things here. He's saying the kingdom is for children. The children are welcome to come, to approach me, and therefore enter the kingdom. But the kingdom is also for the childlike. It's for children. It's for people like these kids that are coming. But it's for the childlike, the child at heart. Now, verse 17 is going to expand more on what he means, the importance of being childlike. But let me talk just for a minute, looking at what Jesus is saying here, and ask, what are some implications for children's ministry then, from what Jesus teaches his disciples in verse 16? Three implications for children's ministry. Number one, children's ministry here at Antioch, it should not be neglected. It should not be neglected. The number of young families and children we have, it creates a glaring need to shepherd them, to care for them well. On an elder retreat we took earlier this summer, Nate Crampy, Tim Mock, and myself, our elder team here at Antioch, it's one of the first things that we were on the table talking about, the great opportunity, the great need that there is to invest and to shepherd children well that God has brought to us. One third of our church family here, roughly, are kids, young, elementary, and under. So it shouldn't be neglected. We have a responsibility to invest in whom God has given us. Last week, we talked a little bit about how a passion to reach the next generation, it includes young adults, it includes young people, but it also includes kids. Kids, young adults, and then there's a sense where the next generation is the next generation of every person spiritually that would follow Jesus, young and old. We want to have that passion for the next generation. Now, what are some reasons why we might neglect or ignore ministry to children? Well, to be honest, they don't give a lot of significant finances. Have you ever noticed that? It might be significant to them if they're, you know, getting an allowance of $3 and they give $1. That's like a third of their income, right? But they don't get, you can't really build a financially self-sustaining church with elementary age kids only, right? They can't serve, they can't fill a ministry slot like an adult can. They don't have much influence. They don't understand, you could say, the complexity of the world that we live in. Or we might be even tempted to see them as distractions from the more important aspects of mission. But actually, if we're thinking that way, we're thinking more like the disciples that Luke communicates to us and Jesus rebukes in this passage, right? So the question for us is, are we more like the disciples when it comes to kids? Or are we like Jesus, who says, let the children come to me, who is concerned, who is passionate about investing in kids? Jesus made time for children, but his disciples saw them as an inconvenient obstacle. And that's the last thing in the world we want to see kids as here at Antioch. So children's ministry should not be neglected. Number two, one of the implications from what we see in verse 16 is that children's ministry should be all about Jesus. It should be all about Jesus. Seeing Jesus should be the goal. He's the center of the biblical story. So if we're looking at the Bible, we're not looking at a bunch of moral principles or stories that are fun and interesting that we want kids to see, or trying to see, get them to see how they really need to be like Noah or something like that. We're trying to get them to see Jesus. That's what the Bible is all about. The Old Testament pointing to Jesus, the New Testament talking about what he's done and what that means. It's all about him. He's the hero. So seeing Jesus, experiencing Jesus. We're not trying to invest and raise up a bunch of little Pharisees, children that are little Pharisees that are just trying to live in the right way, going through the motions of religiosity, but experiencing him, walking with him, knowing Jesus in a personal way, guiding them to do that. Children's ministry should be led by disciples or followers who embrace that same passion that Jesus does for children. It should be about encouraging children to come to Jesus, not coercing or manipulating them, but encouraging them, as Jesus says, to come to him. Let the children come to me, Jesus says. It should be all about Jesus in the sense that we do whatever we can here at Antioch to remove anything that would hinder a child from coming to Jesus. So if there's anything that we can do to remove a hindrance that would be between them and Jesus, we're going to do that. We need to do that. Safety, qualified volunteers, background checks, accessibility, facility, use of space, like all those practical, pragmatic things, those flow out of a theology of children's ministry. No hindrance between them and Jesus, right? So that informs why we do the pragmatics. Now, number three, not only should children's ministry not be neglected, not only should it be all about Jesus, he's the focus, but children's ministry is also for those who are not yet part of Antioch. And this is so important because while on the one hand, we have a responsibility to invest in and shepherd the children that God has given us here, we're not just thinking inward, protect our own, care for our own. No, we're looking outward. We're not ceasing to look outward when we're talking about children's ministry because ministering to kids, it provides a way to missionally engage young families outside of our church family who don't know Jesus yet. So in other words, it's a great way to build some gospel bridges to those that we want to see come to know Jesus. Did you know a lot of young parents, young families, even if they're not really interested in Jesus or the church or anything themselves, they will want that for their kids. They will want some type of a moral framework or foundation for their kids, and they might return to the church environment or for the first time go to a church environment to get that for their kids. Well, what a great opportunity to bring Jesus not only to the kids but to the whole family and to reach out to those that need Jesus in that way. Through children's ministry. It can be a great gospel bridge. That's what we mean when we talk about making a bridge to those that don't know Christ, relationally. So let's move on to the second reason here then, back to Luke 18. The second reason why children's ministry is a vital part of Antioch's mission. The first reason was that Jesus is concerned about children coming to him. Now we see in verse 17, Jesus is clear about the necessity of childlike faith in our lives. Jesus is clear about the necessity of childlike faith in our lives. So to put it another way, Jesus is telling us, hey, there's a lot that you can learn from kids. There's a lot to learn about what it means to follow me from children, about discipleship. Now look at verse 17 again. Jesus makes an absolute statement here. Look at it, I'll read it again. He says, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That sounds like there's not really, it sounds pretty black and white to me. An absolute statement, childlike reception of the kingdom, of God's rule, it's a non-negotiable for kingdom entry, receiving it like a child. Well, The question is, what does that mean, right? What does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? Well, it does not mean reverting to acting like a child in the sense of starting to wear diapers again, or to eat baby food again, or drink formula, like reverting to childlike tendencies. No, that's not what he's saying. We get a couple clues in the immediate context, the surrounding verses, about what Jesus means in chapter 18. Well, what's he even talking about? Well, just before this passage, there was a parable about a Pharisee, a religious leader, and a tax collector in verses 9 through 14. And in that parable, we saw on the one hand, there was a religious leader that thought he was righteous before God, thought that he was okay. But what was going on is that he was very prideful, full of pride, self-reliance, religiosity, and he was trusting in his own merits to be righteous, to be accepted before God. Now, on the other hand, there was a tax collector who many people in Jesus' day hated. They were usually dishonest and traitors because they worked for the Roman government. This tax collector, who people like the prideful Pharisee did not like, he came before God and prayed and demonstrated this humble dependence and helplessness before God. And Jesus says, he's the one that is righteous. He's the one that's accepted, not the person that is full of pride and arrogance and self-reliance, but the one that is humble, dependent, surrendering, saying, I have nothing, God. You're my only hope. The one that comes to Jesus like that, that's the one God accepts. Humble dependence rather than prideful self-reliance. So that's a little bit of a clue. If Jesus has just talked about that, what it means to be like a child, this humble dependence. Also, an even better clue is in verse 15. That's right in this section that we're looking at. Luke is the only one of the Gospels that clarifies and gives us more specific information, saying that among these children that were coming to Jesus, it was even infants. Verse 15, Luke notes that. It's unique to him. Even infants were being brought to Jesus. To emphasize the point that Luke is making. I mean, what's an infant like, right? Some of you have infants. Some of you are in infant land right now. Some of you are maybe expecting, and infants are soon coming. But an infant is totally dependent, right? Is there a greater picture of dependence than an infant? I mean, they just kind of lay there and eventually start smiling, but totally dependent, helpless, totally reliant upon others. What a picture of what Jesus wants us to be like. What a picture of what Jesus calls disciples to be like. Totally dependent, reliant upon him, knowing our own helplessness before God. And Jesus says it's only those like a child that will enter the kingdom. Every so often I'll hear people quote the statement, God helps those who help themselves. Does anybody know the reference for that in the Bible? Let me help you out. It's not in there. It's a statement that is often attributed to the Bible, but there's no verse that says that. In fact, it's actually contradictory to what Jesus says in Luke 18:17. Jesus is saying, not that God helps those who help themselves, but God helps those who acknowledge their own helplessness. God is excited about when we come to him like a child, acknowledging our own helplessness. God, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. I have no merits to boast of before you. And come in total humility, dependence, trust, just asking, relying upon him in humble, dependent faith. Well, what does childlike dependence and trust look like? You think about young children and the trust that they give, it's not like an adult. with really young children, their trust doesn't have to be earned. Like we as adults sometimes have to do with people, like you have to earn my trust, really, before I'm going to give it to you. And it can be broken, of course. But with children, it's almost like, especially the really young, it's instinctive. It's automatically given. Just because the parent or guardian, whoever, is there. Children don't have to have a reason or to prove why or reason to themselves why they should trust a parent necessarily. And what a picture we have here that Jesus gives us of what we, those who know Jesus Christ and follow him, are a child of God. What a picture of how we as children of God should be responding to our Heavenly Father, where trust is, it's automatic. It's instinctive. It's part of what we do because of who God is and because of who we are in Jesus as his children. One author, Daryl Bach, in his commentary on Luke, he says this, "The simple, dependent attitude of little children is a picture of the disciples' attitude in walking with God. Such simple trust is a prerequisite for entry into the benefits of God's rule. In the kingdom and in one's walk, to be a child of God, to be a child at heart, is a good thing." It's a good thing. So there's not only do we see here that actual children, that Jesus is very excited, concerned, passionate about them coming to him, but Jesus is actually very interested as well in all of us, any of us that would claim to follow him, having the faith of a child. And coming to him is actually, as a child, in dependent, childlike trust, it's actually a prerequisite for entering into the kingdom. A non-negotiable. So Luke 18, 15 through 17, even though it's not dealing specifically with children's ministry, man, what great implications from this passage for why we do what we do. Why children's ministry is vital to the mission here at Antioch Community Church. We're in an exciting season, and we have a lot of other things going on besides children's ministry, but that's a major focus for us right now that we're working through. And we're facing not a problem, but a lot of good challenges, aren't we? You know, one of the things that I love about new churches, church plants, because in some sense, even though we're going to be 6 years old as a church ourselves here at Antioch next month, in some sense, we are like a church plant. In other senses, we are more established and rooted. But one of the things that you see in church plants, in new churches, that's exciting is there's opportunity to build something from the ground up, right? To lay a foundation and from scratch be part of shaping something, of what it will become. Be part of setting the trajectory of what a ministry will look like. To be part of building up that Jesus-honoring program of children's ministry, whatever that will look like. And April mentioned this at the beginning when I had her share, April Lindemann, about the needs that we have. But let me say it even a little more strongly, okay? A specific plug for family ministry volunteers. Some of you have young families, have kids, are serving. Many of you are. But let me encourage you that this is a great opportunity to invest in, whether you have kids or not. Don't sit on the sidelines, especially as a parent. Don't sit on the sidelines frustrated because things aren't the way you want them to be, okay? Look at it as what a great opportunity to be part of the solution, right? And to invest in what this could become. And to invest in and to reflect Jesus' heart for kids. Get involved. Be part of setting that trajectory for the future. Be part of the solution. Because when we are, it reflects not only Jesus' heart, but we have a lot to learn, don't we? About what it means and what it looks like to be childlike and to have that childlike trust and dependence from the one-third of the church that we can really learn it from here. So let's pray together. Lord, I ask that you would help each of us to embrace you, to trust in you with that faith like a child. God, would you change our hearts that that response to you would be instinctive, that that response of humble, dependent trust would come easily rather than us wanting you to prove yourself to us. Lord, would you make us like children in the sense that we just run to you, cling to your leg, and just are in love with you. And Lord, would you help us to reflect your heart for children, for kids? What a great chance to shape the next generation of worshipers of you. Lord, as we transition now to worship you through giving, through our offering, as we give that to you, Lord, receive it as an offering of worship from grateful hearts that would bring glory to you. Lord, thank you that you have, all we have is from you. Everything we have in our lives is owned by you. Thank you for the opportunity to give back to you as grateful children. We pray this in your name.